Last week we met some needs in our community. We had 50 to 65 kids that were here every night of the week. And we had to meet the needs spiritually to those people, and by all of the things that we did. We had teachers that taught the Word of God. We had people that worked in the food department that had a snack ready for the kids every day. We had people that helped set up. We had people that tore down. We had a nursery available for workers' kids that were here. We had people that decorated the stage, people that did publicity, people, you know, just on and on and on. I imagine there were probably 40 to 50 people involved in just putting on that week. And let me tell you something, every job was important. Every job mattered. Every job made a difference in the lives of those children. How many of you are a little tired this week that you worked in VBS? You see, practicing your spiritual gift is exercise. It makes you tired. It wears you out. You gave of yourself, and you gave of your time and your abilities. So what I want us to do this morning, we're going to talk about this thing called spiritual gifts that God has given every one of us. Now, if you've never heard of spiritual gifts, it's very simple. It is what God has created you to do for His kingdom. Everybody here has a spiritual gift of some kind. Maybe you don't know what it is. Maybe you do know what it is. Maybe you think you know what it is. But hopefully when we leave this place this afternoon, you're going to know what your spiritual gift is or have a better idea of what your spiritual gifting is than you did when you came in. Now, Rick Warren has an assessment for discovering your spiritual gifts from Saddleback Community Church. And I kind of borrowed this. Thousands of churches had borrowed this. But it's called your SHAPE assessment, S-H-A-P-E. We're going to talk about shaping our lives for the kingdom of God, finding our gifts, putting them into practice. And it's not just spiritual gifts, but it's all those other things that go with it. We're very complex people. We are made up not only of the abilities that God has given us. You know, Sandy and I, we each have different gifts that make our marriage happen. Unbelievably, Sandy comes from a home where her dad was a mechanic and could fix anything and, you know, all that kind of stuff. Sandy inherited that ability. I did not. For me, just changing the oil in my car is a, you know, well, I don't even do that anymore. But just when I was younger, changing oil was an all-day job for me. I just don't have the patience for it. My makeup isn't made for that kind of thing. I'm just impatient and all that kind of thing. Sandy will work and try this and try that. I just have to leave the room. She's different from me, but we work complementary together in order to make our marriage work. You are given a specific set of gifts, but tangled all in that, shaping that, are your personality, your experiences that you've been through, all of those different things that make you, you. I think a significant part of my life was my childhood, the childhood that I had, and probably yours also, the experiences that you had with parents, whether you went through difficulties, trials, traumas that you've been through. Some of you have been through terrible times, and it has shaped who you are. Some of you have been through some great victories, and it's shaped who you are. But we're going to talk about that, and the first thing is spiritual gifts. Now, the Bible talks very specifically about spiritual gifts. It talks, you know, take out your papers now, the half sheet that's there. And on the other side, on one side, it has that shape. And the S is for spiritual gifts. And if you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It's probably the kind of central passage on spiritual gifts. It's not the only one in Scripture, but our time is limited this morning, so we've got to kind of fly through this. And I want you to jot down any questions that you have, because I want to answer those questions after the service. If you want to pull me aside and ask me questions, feel free to do that. But we're going to fly through this week of finding your spiritual gift. 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 11, it says, "A spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other." Number one, each of us has a spiritual gift. Now I want to share this with you. If you're a believer, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you have a spiritual gift. If you are not a follower of Jesus Christ, if you're not a believer in Jesus Christ this morning, you have one too. It just hasn't been developed yet. The Holy Spirit hasn't been able to make that come alive in you. But God gave you gifts and abilities that He wants you to use for the kingdom of God. Some of you are using your gifts for yourself exclusively. And you're trying to build a successful life on the giftings that God has given you. That's not a wrong thing, by the way. But if you put all of your hope in success for yourself, if that is the goal, the overarching theme of your life, let me tell you this, you will never find satisfaction. It will never be enough. You're going to have to find that through building God's kingdom, through giving of yourself away to others. And that's what God has given you a spiritual gift for. So, verse 8, to one person the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another. And to someone else, the Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Holy Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. Listen, God created you. He created all of you. He created every facet of your personality, who you are, and what you are. Your personality is your gift from God. Now, some of you might think, well, God made a mistake when He gave me my personality. Well, no, He didn't. You're just not using it in the right way for His glory and to glorify the kingdom of God. There are shadings of every personality that God uses to build His kingdom, and every personality is a gift from God in order to build the kingdom of God. Now, let me just kind of illustrate that with my own life. I have the gift of teaching. I love to teach. I can't think of a better way to spend my time than studying God's Word, putting lessons together, you know, all of that kind of stuff. I love to teach. But the bad side of that is that I can be hypercritical when I hear other people teach. I have real trouble sitting and listening to someone else preach. Now, you might think that's because I'm egotistical and just like to hear myself, and you'd probably be a little bit true about that. But the teacher in me likes to be exact. I like to have my doctrine right. I like to have my theology correct. And all of that's good, but if it leads to division and to divisiveness and to nitpickiness and, you know, saying things like, well, that was pretty good, but. Did you ever do something for somebody and they say, well, that was pretty good, but next time, just put a little more cinnamon in the apple pie. You know, you went through all the trouble to bake an apple pie for somebody and they criticize it. Great, thank you very much. It just kind of sucks all the joy out. That's my personality if I let it go in a fleshly direction. Every personality has its good points, and we really have to watch how we use them for the kingdom of God. But each person has a gift from the Holy Spirit. In verses 14 it says, yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I am not a part of the body because I'm not a hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. If the ear says, I'm not part of the body because I'm not an eye, what would that make it any less part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, just picture that for a minute, Pixar, you know, the Monsters, Inc., the one-eyed guy that's there. Did anybody see that movie? Okay, all right, so you know what I'm talking about. Or if the whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? I love Paul. He's got a little bit of humor involved in here, you know. He's saying, you know, the body is put together. What he's talking about is an interdependency in the body of Christ. Now, not dependency. Dependency is where you gain all of your esteem, all of your joy, all of your satisfaction from other people. Interdependency is not. It's working together to achieve a common goal, the building of the kingdom of God. It is where we all know our role, practice our role, and trust others to do their thing that they are given gifts for in the kingdom of God. And what is that goal? The goal is to win souls for God's kingdom. Folks, that's what we're all about. That's why we're doing this thing on vision for the church. We want to see people come into the kingdom of God. We want them to experience the joy of salvation. We want them to experience the feeling of forgiveness. There is nothing better than knowing that all of your sins are forgiven. And that's what we want for everybody to know and for everybody to feel. And so we cast this vision together. Here's what we are. Here's what we're about. Our goal is to build the kingdom of God. And then he carries on and he says, but our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it to be. How strange a body would be if it had only one part. Yes, there are many parts, but one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the foot, I don't need you. We all need each other. And that's where unity comes from, where we look at each other and we understand that God has placed you in this body for a particular reason. I honestly believe that you're not here by accident. God has placed you here because you have needs that this body must have in order to function correctly. See? Nothing like timing, is there? God wants us to achieve that, and there are four truths about your gifts that I want you to walk out of here with. Number one, you are not here by mistake. You are here because the hand of God has led you here. You are here because this body needs you, and you need it. There is a symmetry that's going on in the body of Christ where we complement each other, and you are not here by mistake. Number two, you are needed here. We need you. We need you to be active in the body of Christ, and we need you to put into practice those gifts that God has given you. We're going to talk about this more in just a few minutes, but there are no spectators in the body of Christ. There's one place in Scripture where the Bible talks about people spectating, watching what's happening, standing back, eating popcorn, munching, watching the movie. That's not what the kingdom of God is like. There's a place where that happens, and that happens in heaven. When we're done, when we're finished, then we'll have all of eternity to relax and to enjoy the presence of God. But while we're here, there is work to be done, and you are needed here. Number three, your mix of gifts are unique, and therefore they are irreplaceable. There are people that can do the job that you're supposed to be doing, but they can't always do it the way you do it. You have a unique mix of gifts. When anointed by the Holy Spirit and put into practice, they become powerful. Powerful in the kingdom of God. I told you about Grandma Tubbs, my praying warrior up north. She had two bad knees, she had two bad shoulders, she had survived cancer three or four times. She had outlived all of her family, and she prayed probably 5 or 6 hours a day. People that didn't even know her called her to pray for them. She had the spiritual gift of intercession, of praying for others. And when she prayed, things happened. How many of you know somebody like that? When you get sick, when you have a need, you want to call that person because they seem to have the ear of God. You can pray and I can pray, but some people just have that gift of intercession. That is unique to you. Your gift mix is unique and they are irreplaceable. And number four, this is so important. There are no small gifts in the kingdom of God. There are no small gifts. If you're a nursery worker, that is important. Just ask the parent of a toddler who leaves that child in your trust every Sunday morning, and they walk back and there's their child, whole and healthy. That's big. You're not just a nursery worker. You're pouring into their lives. You're doing that. You know, just every gift that you can think of, office help, janitor work, custodial work, all of that kind of stuff, that all is so important. And we need to practice those gifts and put them into use for the kingdom of God. It says in verse 27, all of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. Here are some of the parts God has appointed for the church. First are apostles, second are prophets, third are teachers, then there are those who do miracles, and those who have the gift of healing, and those who can help others, those who have the gift of leadership, those who speak in unknown languages. Well, when we talk about the gifts of the Spirit, I put together kind of a list. This is not exhaustive, because I believe that the gifts have shadings, they're mixes of gifts that come together, and all of that kind of stuff that goes on. But over here you see kind of the general gifts that are there. Wisdom. I know some wise people in my life, and if I need advice, I'm going to go to them, because they just seem to have wisdom in their life. Knowledge, understanding. I know some smart people. I don't happen to be one of them, but I know people that are smart, and I lean on them when I need them. People of great faith, people that have the gift of healing. I have a friend that if I ever get sick, I'm calling him first. Because when he prays for people, people get healed. I don't think I have that gift of healing. Now, I can pray for healing for people, but that's different than from the gift of healing. Miracles, prophecy, discernment, tongues. Some people love to speak in tongues and it comes easily to them. Interpretation, serving, teaching, encouragement, generosity, leadership, kindness. We all weren't cut out to be leaders. There are some churches, especially when I was a presbyter, I noticed this. There were some churches that put people in leadership positions that did not have the gift of leadership. You know what that did to the church? It put it in a constant state of disarray and tension and divisiveness and all of that kind of stuff. When you try to practice your gifts outside, it's like a teacher. If you don't have the gift of teaching, guess what? We don't want you teaching. Because there are two people that get miserable when you don't have the gift of teaching. One is the teacher. Who's the other one? The students. They don't want to be there. You don't want to be there. You might as well not be there. So we want teachers to do the gift of teaching, leadership, kindness, and then there's office gifts. These are gifts that hold an office. Apostle. I put that in the context of like church planters. I have a friend that's an apostle, my friend Bob Moody, whose kidneys have failed him, and I appreciate your prayers for him for a miracle. He needs a miracle. He's in hospice care. But he's an apostle. At one point in his life, he was pastoring five different churches. They were all small churches. Now they're not small anymore. But he would go around and plant a church in one of those little towns in northern Michigan, get it on its feet, get it rolling, disciple a pastor, leave it for him, and then he'd go back to his church and plant another church. He had an apostolic ministry. A prophet, a person that proclaims God's word. Sometimes it's predicting the future. Most of the time, it's simply proclaiming God's word that's already revealed in Scripture. Evangelists, people that just love soul winning, and they have the ability to go out and win people to the Lord. I've got a friend that's an evangelist. He doesn't talk to anybody for more than 3 minutes, and he tells them this. I can't do this. I get slapped if I did this. But he says, he walks up to somebody and engages them in conversation. He says, hey, wait a minute, I'm enjoying this conversation, but I made a deal with God. If I get to talk to anybody for more than 3 minutes, that means that God wants me to tell you about Jesus Christ. So I'm going to do that, okay? And everybody says, okay. He just has that personality. He's led hundreds of people to the Lord. He has that gift. Pastor, teacher. I have the gift of pastoring and teaching. And that's kind of evident in my life. But it's a gift that God has given me. And so what I want you to do right now, I want you to take what card is it? The little quarter-inch card that has all the lifts of the gifts of the Spirit on there. And yeah, that one, the one Kim's holding up there. And just what, you don't have to, now there's an assessment, there's a link on there that you can take an assessment that will kind of lead you in the direction, but I don't really think you need to do that. I think you know what you're good at. And why don't you just take a minute and circle two or three of those gifts that you believe that God has given you. Just take a minute and do that. Just something that appeals to you. Now, if you look at that and you go, don't circle that one, okay? But if you look at one and say, you know what? I like that. That's me. That fits my personality. Then circle that one. Everybody do that right now. By the way, did everybody roll up their windows in their car? If you didn't, it's too late. Half the crowd gets up and runs out. Here's my chance. All right, you got it? This shouldn't take very long. Just go ahead and do that. Now, the H in this whole shape assessment stands for your heart. It means your heart. Your heart, what is your passion? What lights your fire? What really gets you excited about the kingdom of God? What are your interests and your passions? You know, ask yourself, what do I love to do? You might say, well, I love working with kids. It was such a thrill to see people working with these little kids that we had this week. Some of them were from our church, but most of them were from outside of our church. And by about the third day, kids were running up to their leaders to give them hugs. You know, first they're kind of standoffish, and then the next day they're a little looser. But by the third day, you got kids that are just running up and grabbing a leg and hugging them and just falling in love with them. And they had a passion for those kids. Maybe you have a passion for children. Maybe you have a passion for teens or for young adults or for senior citizens or something like that. What age group do you like to work with? What ministries do you admire or excite you? Maybe you're not the kind of hands-on person, but behind the scenes, you can fix stuff. You can put that into practice. If you could quit, ask your job this question. If you could quit your job, what would you devote your life to? Now, that's a fantasy everybody has, you know, but if you could quit your job and do whatever you wanted to and not have to worry about income and dedicate yourself to the kingdom of God, what would you do? That will help you answer your heart question. And you put that into context with the gifts that you have chosen over there, and you can begin to get a little clearer picture of what God is calling you to. So H is for heart. And then the letter A is for your abilities. What are you good at? What can you do well? What skills has God given you? I already told you Sandy is the mechanical skill person in our house. I can just barely pound a nail. If you mark the nail and hold it for me, I can pound a nail. No one wants to hold it for me for some reason. I don't know why that is. But I can get up and speak in front of a group of people. Now, let me tell you what the handicap of that is. I do that so naturally that I think everybody should be able to do it. I every once in a while I have to catch myself because I'll say to somebody, hey, would you like to say something, you know, give an announcement on Sunday morning? And I watch people just go, gah. You know, they just kind of freak out. And I'm thinking, what, do they have a spasm attack? What's going on here, you know? And then I remember the number one fear of people is to get in front of a group of people and talk. I never had that problem. Can you imagine that? But you know, that's an ability that I have. I can get up in front of people and speak easily. I don't always say the right thing, but that's a whole other problem that we can talk about at another time. Do you work with your hands? Are you artistic? My wife and I can each take a picture of the exact same thing at the exact same time, and hers looks like a work of art. Mine looks like a two-year-old got a hold of the camera. She just has that eye for it. She has that ability to see it. Sandy has found her passion in art. She has three different jobs where she teaches art. She teaches art to homeschoolers. She teaches art to people in respite care, adult, senior, many of them suffering from Alzheimer's. It's a therapeutic kind of art. And she teaches art for all on Monday nights to people with developmental disabilities. Her passion for people and her passion for art are melded together to make the ministry that she has. What are your passions? What do you like to do? What are your most valuable personal assets? Are you a singer? Do you love to sing? Don't worry about being a good singer or a bad singer. We'll let you know about that. Pastor Matt can train you, can't you, Pastor Matt? He went like this. No, he didn't. One of the things that we need here at the church are more people involved in all areas of, you know, of the music ministry. He needs, like, people that will help with technical stuff and the soundboard and the computer and all of that kind of stuff. What are your passions? Mechanical abilities Can you do construction? Can you pound a nail better than I can? Cooking, do you like to cook? Are you a good cook? Do people tell you how good a cook you are? Do you get your passion from fixing a meal for a family or something like that? One-on-one relationships. Many of you don't like to talk in a crowd, but you love to sit down and have a cup of coffee with somebody and just talk to them about the Lord. What are your passions? What do you do well already? Those are the abilities. And then the P stands for personality. What kind of personality? How has God formed you? Big one, are you an introvert or an extrovert? Are you outgoing or are you kind of shy and retiring? There's nothing wrong with either one of those. One is not better than the other, but they are things to consider in putting your gift mix together. Are you someone who likes structure or spontaneity? Who do you think likes structure in my family? Sandy. I'll never forget. One time we were going on vacation. I like spontaneity. I like things just to happen. And one time we went on vacation, and I didn't tell them where we were going. I said, just get in the car. We're going to go. And they started out, I don't know about this. You know, get in the car. So we get in the car, and we drive for about an hour. No, where are we going? Well, you'll see. And the temperature just kept rising, you know. Finally, they said, listen, we need to know where we're going right now. That was my kids, too. They're kind of structured also, except for Zach. And I discovered, man, that's the difference between Sandy and I is she likes structure. She always asks me, what are you going to do today? And sometimes just to tweak her a little bit, I'll say, I don't know. I'll figure it out as I go. And she knows me well enough, she just says, right, fine, good, you know, walks away. But do you like spontaneity or do you like structure? Are you intuitive or sensory? Do you have to study something out and get all your facts marshaled before you do it? Or are you like me where you say instructions are for sissies and just throw it away, you know, and just kind of put it all together? I'll figure it out. I got three screws, a bolt, and a piece left afterwards. But it works. Who cares? Are you thinking or feeling? Are you emotionally based or are you thought-based, rationally based? You know, all of those things determine how you use your giftings. Most teachers, for example, are more thought-based than emotionally based. As a matter of fact, this is that personality thing again. If they're not careful, they can discount emotions completely and say, oh, that's just emotionalism. We don't really need that. When in reality, emotions have to play a role in everything that we do also. So that all goes back and forth. And then finally, E is for experience. How did you come to Christ? Some people came to Christ in a crisis situation. Some people were drug addicts, alcoholics. Some people were so sick that they thought they were going to die. Some people came to Christ in a crisis situation. Others, I term it this way, they kind of slip into the kingdom of God. They woke up one morning, they had been going to church, thinking about it, you know, considering it, listened to this, listened to that, read the Bible, and suddenly they just woke up and said, you know what, I'm a Christian. I'm going to follow Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask Him to forgive my sins. I'm going to live for Him from now on. How did you come to Christ? That can be a good indicator on where your gifts are and how they function in your life. What kind of significant spiritual experiences have you had? Some of you have had visions and dreams. And that is an important part of your life, and you can remember them clearly and distinctly. Others of you have had miracles happen to you, healing miracles. You've witnessed miracles. All of those things matter in discovering your gifts. What events that you know shaped your life and who you are? I know that there are a couple of significant events in my life that shaped who I am. One of them is the fact that my mom and dad, my birth mother, divorced when I was a small child. And I don't remember ever living with my birth mother. I remember living with my dad single life, but it's a long story and I won't get into it. But God used that experience to shape me. He gave me a wonderful mother. Joyce is my stepmother. I never call her that because she's my mother. But she was such an influence on my life. And, you know, that was a significant feeling, a significant event in my life. When I got brought back together with my birth mother, that was a significant event because I had to work through all kinds of issues of forgiveness, anger, you know, all the stuff that went along with that. I had to work through that. And I thought I was pretty mature in Christ, but I discovered that I wasn't as mature as I thought I was. And all of that stuff is working together to make me who I am today. Trauma or struggles that you can relate to others. Some of you are cancer survivors. And only you can relate to someone that has been told they have cancer. I've never been diagnosed with that. I can't imagine what goes through somebody's mind. But some of you can, because you've been through it. Some of you have been delivered from drugs or alcohol. Only you really know what's going on in that person's life, can have real compassion for them that goes with experience. Some of you have lost children. Some of you have been through, you know, some of you have lost your financial means. You've gone broke, you know. God has restored that, or He's restoring it. All of these experiences give you a unique perspective on the gifts that you have and what God wants you to be. So let's do this. There's a little card that I want you to fill out. That's the quarter card that's there. And it's got a list of just all kinds of things that you could do here in the church. We want to know what you're able to do, what you think you're good at, what you think you could be trained to do. And we want you to just circle those things. Put your name, your address, your phone number on it, and we're going to use that in a minute. But while I'm closing, I want you to be thinking about that. I want you to be looking at that. Why are we doing this? Well, because we told you before, the only spectators in Scripture are those who have died. Look, church is not a spectator sport. Being part of the church is a call to action. It's a call to duty. It's a call to working for the kingdom of God. Now, some of you are in a position where your greatest asset could be to pray. That is not, there's no small gifts, remember? Matter of fact, prayer is probably the most powerful gift that you can, excuse me, that you can have. Pastor Matt's going to be talking to us in a few weeks about Third Thursday prayer and how that's all going to pan out, but we're going to start that up again. The Bushes did a great job of keeping Third Thursday prayer going. Juanita is has a prayer group that she has. We've got lots of opportunities for you to pray in this church and for you to be part of that, but we want you to put it into practice. There are no spectators in the kingdom of God. Hebrews 12:1, it says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to life and faith," those are all the saints that have gone before, "there's going to be time to rest in heaven. Now is not the time to rest. Now is the time to work." The enemy is working, isn't he? Overtime. What's the answer to that for us to sit back and say, "Boy, I can't wait to see what happens next"? No, it doesn't. Jesus said, "I will build my church. I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." He says, "Put on the armor of God," and it's all offensive in nature. The armor of God is all attacking stuff and protection when you're attacking stuff. We're called to do that. We're called to not be spectators. A second reason we're doing this is because on Judgment Day, there is going to be a revelation of what we have done for the kingdom of God. Now, this is not going to determine whether you're saved or not, because you can never do enough to earn God's salvation. You can never do enough to earn God's forgiveness. You are forgiven if you ask for forgiveness, right? But there is an aspect of work that's done in the kingdom of God. It says in 1 Corinthians 3:13, "But on Judgment Day, fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has done. The fire will show if a person's work has any value." I want you to have a reward in heaven that is worthy. I want you to live a life that is exhausting spiritually. Exhausting spiritually. Because this is the only life we get. If we're not, it says that if we die, we're either here on the earth or we're with Christ. If you're either living or you're in God's presence, one of the two. There's no middle ground. And when we live, we need to live for His kingdom and for His worth. And then this last thought, I want you to catch this. I read this week and it just hit me between the eyes. It says this: a church can either be a cruise ship or a battleship. A church is either a cruise ship or a battleship. On a cruise ship, everyone expects to be waited on and entertained. On the battleship, everyone is trained for a specific job and works with others as a team. Is your church a cruise ship or a battleship? I want us to be a battleship. I want North Point to be Assembly of God to be a place where people have found their ministry, their place, their gifts, whatever you want to call it, and are putting it into practice. I want us to be the body of Christ. I want us to be ready for anything that comes. I want us to be ready to be mobilized. I want us to be to the point where when the enemy attacks, all we have to do is pick up our shield because we're ready as a team. We've all got our place, and we repel the attacks of the enemy and we advance forward. That's what I want North Point Assembly of God to be. That's what God has called us to be. And it can only be that if we all do our part for the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this morning as we close this time together, we ask that you would move upon the heart of every person that's here today. God, I pray that every person would find their place in the body of Christ and that they would practice that. And Lord, we ask you to do that in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I want you to take your card and fill it out now. And maybe some of you need a little bit more time, but I really don't want you to, this is going to sound terrible, but it's true. I don't want you to think too much about this. You can outthink yourself on something so simple as what I'm called to do and what I'm called to be. So just fill out that card. Just circle two or three items. I don't want you to circle all of them. None of us have all the gifts. But I want you to circle one, two, or three items and just let us know, this is where I'm willing to serve. This is where I'm willing to be part of the body of God. If you're not sure, put a question mark by it so that we'll know that you're questioning that, that you're not sure, you think you might be. But whatever you do, fill that card out, and I want you to be ready to bring it to the altar here before you go. Okay, so let's all stand together. And Pastor Matt's going to lead us in some worship before we do. But I'd like to invite everybody to come to the altar so that, you know, you're not coming up alone. And if you have that filled out, just lay that card on the altar. And then we'll all remain at the altar because I want to close in prayer with all of us here. Okay? So you come.
It's there in the newborn cry. There in the light of every sunrise. There in the shadows.